Today on the Callahan Podcast, we talk to the man, Frank Mendoza, owner of Monica's Trattoria in the North End. Frank has lost all faith in the mayor and the governor and the whole system that's keeping his doors closed, his business shut down. And he's got a new friend. He's got a couple new friends, me and Donald J. Trump. We will talk to Frank Mendoza in a moment. And we got some media feuds. Donald Trump Jr. versus Howie Hamptons. The caller Daddy Girls versus Dave Portnoy. Colin Ann's going to give us the whole lowdown on that. Joe Rogan versus Apple. That's a battle of a couple of heavyweights. And we got Alex Reamer here today. Reamer, who's ready to bail on Team Lockdown and come over to our side. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Podcast, brought to you, as always, by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union. Why do DCU members love their free checking accounts? It's simple. No monthly maintenance fees, no minimum balance, and no strings attached. What's better is that with direct deposit to their free checking account, DCU members can get paid up to 2 days early. Who doesn't love getting paid early? Zero monthly maintenance fees, zero monthly balance, zero reasons not to switch. They'll even remove the hassle of switching your direct deposits and automatic payments from your current checking account. Learn more and make the switch today at dcu.org/free checking. Insured by NCUA. Membership required. Okay, Cullinan, let's go.
This is the Jerry Callahan Podcast.
They say a liberal is a conservative who's been arrested, and a conservative is a liberal who's been mugged. I think what we have here with the Alex Reamer, our resident, our token liberal, is a liberal whose father has been put out of business, which has kind of woken him up, which is good to see, Reamer. I know we like to argue, we like to disagree, but I think you're realizing just how crazy these liberal policies, these lockdown policies are, because your father is unable to do business, and daddy won't be able to pay for your haircut whenever you're allowed to get a haircut. What are you going to do?
I know. Well, luckily my roommate cut my hair about a month ago. So we'll see if he can cut my hair again. I don't know. I need to start going to friends who can cut hair. It's very tough. It's a situation, Jerry, where you have the four phases of reopening in Massachusetts, but it's very arbitrary. And it's like the government is picking winners and losers. If you're a business lucky enough to reopen, your business lucky enough to reopen in phase one,
put your MAGA, put your MAGA hat on now, Reamer. Put your MAGA hat. That way you don't need to worry about, you know, taking a shower. Just put the MAGA hat on and come with me, brother. It is a great observation. I know it's been said before, but it is so arbitrary. And it is so unfair, and we're going to do it again. I'm going to do it again every day. We got lots to get to. We're going to get to, all these. We're going to get to Call Her Daddy. Colin Aide's been assigned. He's our Call Her Daddy correspondent. He's going to explain the whole controversy, and he's going to explain how they were worth that much money, which is more important. We're going to get to the feud between Donald Trump Jr., and Howie Hamptons, which is a good one, and it ain't going away. We got a couple of gym owners in the news. The gym owner in New Jersey who heroically opened up for his customers, and now they're arresting. First, they let him open up and let them all have a good time. Now they're arresting, some musclehead, which I thought was fine because he had his hat on backwards and was wearing a tank top. I said, those should be misdemeanors. Go ahead and arrest him. But they arrested the guy because he was working out and he wouldn't give the cops his name. That's how outrageous that is. And that's coming to Massachusetts, because we have a gym owner out in Oxford who's defiantly opening up. And there's no way Charlie Baker, Chairman Charlie, is not going to allow that. They're going to try to crush this poor guy at Prime Fitness in Oxford. We got a lot to get to. But first, the big question is, I'll ask Colin in this.
Yes.
Before we started recording today, did Alex demand that you not allow Turtle Boy on today?
Is no that demand. One of his demands?
No demand. Alex can be demanding. Did he say no Turtle Boy, or I'm taking no my demand. Mic and going
Alex,
home?
Alex seems cool, calm, and collected, right?
It's part of my lengthy demands. I have a lot to ask for. I gave everybody what they wanted, including Turtle Boy. I acted up a little bit, and got to dance around my parents' my childhood bedroom, which was nice as well. So
he's been poking at you on Twitter and on this podcast.
I see that.
trying to stoke the flames here, this little rivalry, but you're not playing along. I think he's messing with you, and I think you genuinely hate him. I've seen you. You've had plenty of feuds, plenty of fights, including with me, but this one really got under your skin. I could see it in your eyes through this Zoom call or whatever the hell we're on. I could see it in your eyes. The turtle boy really bothers you. I don't know what he did, but you don't want to fight with him. You don't want to, you know, go back and forth.
Well, I was paid handsomely to argue back and forth at WEI, Jerry. That's the point. Do I like arguing in my real life? No, not really. I like to just live in an echo chamber. I enjoy arguing with you, though.
That's bullshit. You just done some reason you don't want to go there with Turtle Boy. I don't know what it is.
Because honestly, I'm happy to debate anything. And if you really want to have a debate about the transgender girls track fairness and competition, I'm happy to have that. But if you come on here screaming about how trans girls are boys, I just don't really want to be part of that. So if you were going to have a civilized conversation,
that topic,
Jerry.
That third rail topic, which, you know, let's be honest, it got us all in a little bit of trouble when we did it on the radio. And it's a subject that some people don't want to touch. Hell, when I tweet about it, I get people saying, you don't go there. You better be careful. They'll come after you.
I don't really understand like the obsession with that unless you hate trans people or unless you're a massive girls track fan, which is bizarre.
Why do you call
in
it
own
obsession?
Right?
What's wrong with this discussion about it? Don't you think it's a pretty polarizing topic when you think about it? There are two sides to it. Clearly, Reamer, there are two sides to it. And I think it's a good debate. I think you're on the losing side. I think you're in the minority. But the minority in this case is much more vocal, much more aggressive. They will come at you, as we know, with everything they got, where the majority basically just looks and says, it's not fair. It's not fair. And you people say,
nah, I don't know. I think the majority of people, if they actually were to look at it, understand the experience of a trans person is quite difficult. And they're not just transitioning willy nilly to play girls sports or boys sports. And, you know, every day is very hard for them. So if they want to play sports with the gender they identify with, I'm cool with that. Ultimately,
not every day, Reamer, not every day, not race day. That is not hard for them. That is easy for them. It's easy for them to beat the girls, the biological girls. But we don't have to do that today.
But here's the thing, though. I did see a tweet from somebody. And this, I think, really hammers the hatred that a lot of your people have. The tweet said, I don't understand why Jerry and Kirk love Alex. I don't understand it. So all these people, these dye-in-the-wool right-wingers, they want your affection. They even want Kirk's affection. I get it, and they don't understand it. Because if you were given the choice, Jerry, between having a meal with me or Turtle Boy, you choose me 10 times out of 10, and that angers him. If Kirk had a choice, if he ever liked to socialize between having a meal with me or Turtle Boy, he'd choose me. I talk to Kirk all the time. I mean, so these people want your affection. They want Kirk's affection. They're angry. I get it. And they don't. And I think that's ultimately what a lot of the hatred comes down to. I'm going to be honest.
Turtle Boy hates you because we like you. But that goes without saying, because lots of people, I could show you the feedback every day we do this, every time. Maybe you see it on the Apple Podcast comments or reviews. It's one after another. Why do you have can I tell you? Honestly,
by the way, no such thing as a bad review. Say whatever you want about Alex. That's good for us.
I agree. I don't care. Yeah. I get this every day. I'll tell you the God's honest truth, Reamer. I have a guy, and I think I've told Colin this a while ago. I've told other people. I have a guy. He's a friend of mine, but he's got money, and he loves the podcast, and he wants to invest in it. He says,
unless
I want to be an investor.
But
he says, you got to get rid of Reamer.
No,
he goes, I'm not doing it if Reamer's on. I said, you know, I'm good. I'm good.
Well, really, Jerry?
I think he'll come around.
There you go.
I think he'll come around. I explained to him all the time that it's, you know, we have fun. I like Reamer. We need an alternative point of view. We all can't get along. And he disagrees because most podcast, you know, they speak to the choir. You know, your big stars, all your, you know, the Mark Levins and Sean Hannity speak to the choir. They don't want to argue. They don't want to debate. We do. And not every day, because most liberals aren't like you. They're afraid. You know, we wanted to have, you know, some of our old friends, Trenny, Tomasi on, but they don't want to do it. They don't want to fight. It's too exhausting. Reamer, he wants to. He doesn't mind, even though sometimes you can be, you know, completely wrong. You could be outnumbered. I could beat you up like, you know, like kill you in a fight, but you come back the next day and do it again. So we like that.
We always make it so much about like liberals don't want to fight. Is it so much about the fight? Like, is it like what happened last week with Alex and Turtle Boy? It doesn't have to always be like that. Like you can have two people on opposite spectrums just having a regular, you guys don't fight. Like you don't go crazy every episode.
Well, no, today we're agreeing. No, I love today, Jerry. Unfortunately, we run out of the gate before we even came on today. We'll get to this. Reamer was complaining about the lockdown, how it's killing dad's business. So as long as it hits close to home, and I love this logic that I rail against the lockdown, the governor, you know, all our elected officials every day, and people say, what do you care? You know, it doesn't affect you. You still get to do your podcast. You still whatever, you know, you get to go away on the weekend. And I'm like, what? I mean, so I can only complain if it ruins me, if I'm Frank Mendoza, the restaurant owner we're going to talk to from the North End who went viral. I mean, obviously his life is affected. Obviously the governor does not care about gym owners. He doesn't care about restaurateurs. He doesn't care about small business people. He is crushing the life out of them. He has picked winners and losers, as you said, Reamer, and the winners are big box stores. The winners are Lowe's and Home Depot. The winners are liquor stores. The governor decided that the liquor stores are going to benefit here. He's decided restaurants can just suck it. He doesn't care about them, or at least small ones. He's got some people who own restaurants on his task force, but they're big restaurants. And come out of this, all this done in the North End and Stella, they're going to die. They're going to die, and the big restaurant chains will benefit. They just have to hold out a little longer. But it's affecting Matt Reamer, Alex's dad, who is in the clothing business, and they are just shut down. You can go into Walmart and buy clothes. You can go to Walmart, Target. You want to buy clothes at Target? You can, socks, shirts, whatever, but you can't go in a clothing store and buy clothes. That spreads the virus.
It's very arbitrary because the first phase is offices and everywhere except Boston, of course, you know, we're going to be slower here, can open up to 25% capacity.
As far as the number 25%, I'm personally not comfortable with the 25% number, to be quite honest with you.
But you say in a big office, a 25% capacity, way more people than a boutique clothing store in, let's say, Chatham on the Cape, where people will be this weekend for Memorial Day. So I don't understand that at all. I mean, I don't think anybody is advocating for concerts to resume, Red Sox games to have 35,000 people this summer. But, you know, if we're going to start reopening, like, it just seems very arbitrary. It just does.
It's totally arbitrary. And there's no better evidence. Well, first of all, you know, again, Baker doesn't care. Baker has turned out to be, you know, this petty tyrant who is picking winners and losers, who doesn't care about your father, doesn't care about him, he's busy, you know, painting orange arrows in the street. He doesn't listen to people like Frank Mendoza or Matt Reamer, doesn't care. But if you want to see arbitrary, I watched this yesterday. The mayor of Boston did a press conference reacting to the phase four plan that the governor laid out the day before. And the mayor, you know, unlike the governor, seems like a decent guy. He seems like he means well, but he's just a guy. He was like a union thug before he became mayor, before he became a politician.
A longtime state rep.
He doesn't know anything about epidemiology. He has no clue what he's talking about. And he just cares. That's all. He wants to go slowly. He wants to be cautious. And he cares about people and about young people. And he actually says the rule that the state has where they're going to allow one quarter, 25% of people in an office. So if you're in an office and you have 40 employees, you can only have 10 there. Sounds a little extreme to me. It sounds like you could easily keep your distance. I know you wouldn't insist on, you know, 65-year-old employees who weigh 300 pounds coming to work. They don't go to work. Simple as that. The other people keep their distance, don't shake hands, wear masks, whatever. The mayor comes out and says, that sounds like too much. Like, what?
Well, I don't know. I mean, offices are different.
Of course you don't know. He doesn't know either, Alex. That's the point.
Well, I would say in the mayor's defense, Jerry, I mean, he does have a health team that he relies on with data. It's not Marty Walsh autonomously making these decisions. Yes, he does.
No way. That's not true. I mean, first of all, if you rely on a health team and they're paying attention, then schools should be open. I mean, the dumbest thing we've done, the single dumbest thing from the beginning is closing schools. Closing schools for what? These children don't get the virus. They don't give the virus. They're much better off in school than at home. Some homes are abusive. You know, they're not learning. They're not interacting. They're not building their immunity. It's idiotic from the beginning to keep children out of school. And eventually we're all going to realize that. It might be, again, 6 months, 6 years from now, but some people are going to go, why again did kids stay home from school? They don't get the virus. And you stay home, there's so many detrimental things about being home. And missing school is one of them. He should have come out yesterday. 2 days ago, the governor should have said, okay, schools are open tomorrow. We're going to do it a month. We're going to give it a month and do our best to get the kids caught up. The idea that you're leaving kids home, and I saw a number.
That ship sailed. I don't know what you're talking. We've already had this conversation.
Okay, fine. Just explain to me why they're home. Why are they home?
You can't, but the fact of the matter, like if he came out and said that, do you know the uproar? People are still scared shitless out there. Of what?
That's the point. Do you want leadership?
You want leadership
or not?
I would love leadership, but I think you did a good job scaring people.
Then you have our Congresswoman, Ringo Presley here, this radical nut who comes out and she says she's against the governor's plan. Can someone point out to Ayanna Presley that the governor is last in the country at opening up? We are last. You know, we were last with golf. We're last with restaurants. We're last with retail. We are last. That's 50th. And she comes out and says it's too soon.
Well, here's what
you like. I mean, again, this is not a person who gives a damn about the private sector, who doesn't care about Matt Reamer or Frank Mendoza or the gym owner in Oxford. She couldn't care less if they all go out of business. She wants everyone to depend on the state. That's her goal. She's a radical. She's a socialist. But she actually said yesterday that she talked to small business owners who aren't ready to open up. Okay. Can you please name names? Because every small business owner I know, everyone I've talked to, are dying to open up. Literally, their businesses are dying if they don't open up. She made that up. Like Reamer said, they're just making it up. It's arbitrary.
I don't know
what they're talking about. We all have to, Alex, come to an understanding now. You, me, Cullinane, everybody. They don't know what they're doing. We have to understand that now. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing in terms of masks, in terms of, you know, canceling school, in terms of having 10 people in an office that holds 40, in terms of allowing restaurants to open, but not, you know, into capacity, or having people eating on the sidewalk. And they don't know what they're doing. They have no idea. You say they have health advisors. I don't think so. I think Marty Walsh is just winging it.
I interviewed Marty's health services commissioner. Marty Martinez is a good guy. He has the best interests of people in mind. He's looking at the health. He's a health person. He's doing what he's supposed to do. But, you know, when Ayanna Presley tweets out yesterday, policy decisions that offer a false choice between public health and economic recovery hurt our communities, she's wrong, because there is no false choice here. Like, the federal government, right, whether we like it or not, and I don't like it, is not giving states any more aid, is not giving the people, it looks like, any more aid, because they're terrible and want to send us back to the meat grinder. And I lament that. I do. But the fact is, you can't just keep businesses shuttered if no additional economic aid is coming. So it's an imperfect situation. It's awful. But there is a choice. Like, if you keep it extended,
well, you know.
Go ahead.
You know what Walsh said last week, that he wasn't ready to open up the city. He wanted to keep the lockdown, keep the curfew, because not enough people got sick.
Not
enough people got sick. So I'm curious, what if half the city got sick? Would he open the city up?
Right. No. So that sounds like an Onion article. So we had a lockdown for 8-9 weeks, so nobody would go out. And then we found out that, nobody went out, so nobody got sick. And as a result, we can't open yet. It's like, what?
it is so maddening. I can't imagine being Frank Mendoza, or the gym owner's name is Dave Blondin, or Matt Reamer. I can't imagine. Your life depends on this. And these people just stick the middle fingers up in your face and say, not ready. And they're doing it for one reason. They want to appear compassionate. They want to appear cautious. They want to suburban soccer mom who puts a mask on a four-year-old and, you know, thinks if you jog by her house without a mask, you're jeopardizing her whole family. They want, here's what they're doing. They're catering to the ill-informed, the ignorant, people who don't understand this, people who think, you know, kids can't play with other kids. I mentioned this poll. I forget where I saw it. 30% of mothers of young children have not allowed their children to interact with other children. They don't allow their children to play with other children. That is insane. It's been 2 months. So you have like a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. They don't interact with any other kids for 2 months going on, 3 months. These people are nuts. They're bad parents. They're not reading up. They're not learning. They're not informed. And their kids are paying a price. I mean, there's absolutely no reason schools shouldn't be open. They should have been, they should have been closed, but we're going to learn more. Everyone's going to catch up. Everyone's going to understand it eventually. Do you think your father and other retailers are going to make it, you know, with this stupid idea that you have to only do curbside? The dumbest thing I heard. So if you own a clothing store or a shoe store, people have to order and like try the shoes sidewalk.
It'll never happen. I mean, like you look at, like, imagine any town in Cape Cod or Maine, where you are. I mean, just imagine, you know, people in these resort areas go into retail stores and they casually browse, and once in a while someone buys something and that's great, but nobody does appointment pickup or anything. I mean, who would do that? You know,
the liquor store near me did that. They changed
That's liquor. You don't need to try on the handle of Tito's soda before you buy it.
I mean, you call and you order what you want on the phone, and then you meet them at the back door. It feels like a drug deal, but you meet them at the back door. I tell you what, I stopped going there. It just feels weird. There's other choices. So there are other liquor stores that are open and you can go in and buy it like a normal person.
But that at least can be done, though. Like, again, you don't need to sample the Jack Daniels before you purchase it. You know what it tastes like. You need to physically try on a sweater, let's say, before you buy it.
Oh, but here's a necessity. Nobody's going to go to a boutique clothing store, like go out of their way to do
maybe.
That.
What if you? I don't know.
And ask them to bring it out to the sidewalk and buy it? No
one's going to do that.
It's insane. And here's what would drive me nuts. I'll say it again. Can you imagine that you own a store and you're looking across the street and people are buying clothes, trying them on at Target or at Walmart, and you can't do that? Why? Why do you get one set of rules and they get another? Why does Baker make sure this governor and a number of other governors, by the way, why do they make sure that the big box stores win and the little guy loses? Why?
Well, I saw an article today that Chipotle sees this as an incredible opportunity for them to even further take over the casual dining scene. I mean, and so, I mean, it just, you know, if you're a Democrat, you know, you're supposed to support, I think, the little person, small business. And again, it's an imperfect, terrible situation. We have a terrible, incompetent president, but you know, we do. So it's like you have to work within those parameters at one point.
Your president would be all for Matt Reamer opening up, selling clothes, all the retailers.
Is he busy, you know, taking his hydroxychloroquine and bleach?
Which way do you want it, Reamer? Do you want the government to allow your father to do business or not? Because the president won't allow it. The governor, the mayor, the congressman won't. They in their mind, it's like, so what? Big business or business is an abstract, and we don't need it. We have the government. People can go on welfare. People can get their, you know, their loans and their grants and their unemployment. They don't think people are living and dying with their small business, like their, you know, Frank Mendoza or Dave Blodden or your father. They don't think they matter. The ones who matter are the ones who don't work. That's the bottom line here. Is they are concerned with the non-working class? That's what Marty Walsh.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I would say in their defense, they're worried about the vulnerable community that will be forced to go back to work, even if it is unsafe. And then what?
You get fired,
and then you can't get unemployment, and then you're really screwed.
Hold it. What are you talking about? Unsafe for whom?
For the workers who would go back.
Okay, who? Give me a typical worker.
If you have a compromised immune system.
Alex, I told you if you're over 60, if you're fat, if you have an underlying condition, you don't work. Period. Everybody
40% of our country is technically obese. I mean, so that's a large percentage of the workforce.
Okay, good. They don't go home. The 60% go to work. How's that? How's that?
But if you put in those rules, that's fine. But you know that's not going to be the case. It's a case where businesses are opening up, factories, plants opening up. The most vulnerable among us are the ones going right back out to the meat grinder and will suffer the health consequences with no access to benefits if they don't want to go to work. That's the concern. And that is a legit concern.
There's plenty of access to benefits. It's so insane that you say some people are vulnerable. Some people are fat. Some people are old. So the vast majority who don't fall into any of those categories have to stay home. And if you're a complete idiot, you say stay home and lock yourselves away and don't go out at night and make sure you wear a mask at home. All these crazy rules that make people feel better. And I got a question, and I think you know the answer. Are you earning enough interest on your cash? Well, according to JP Morgan, individual investors are currently holding over $1.5 trillion in cash, earning next to nothing. Zero. We recently saw a bank CD mature at less than 1%. Before you know it, banks are going to charge you to keep your money on deposit. Hell, they do that already in Europe. Well, don't sit and wait for the bank to increase interest rates on your accounts. That could take years. Put some of that cash to work now. Call the advisors at Flagship Wealth Management at 617-237-3080 for more information on strategies designed to earn competitive interest rates, or go to flagshipwealth.com/Jerry. You've already done this, right, Cullinan?
Big Jack, the unsung hero of the Jerry Callen podcast, is a client of Flagship Wealth. That's how this all came together. So think about that.
God, you need guys like this in these tough times. You need people who are smart and can take care of you. Well, if you want to get a hold of the Flagship guys, call 617-237-3080. Call them today. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Check out this little statistic. The 23 states with the highest death rate per million, all were complete lockdown states. The strictest states are the ones with the most deaths, the most cases, the most illnesses. Lockdowns have failed miserably. They don't work. But it doesn't matter. Somehow it makes the suburban soccer mom feel better. Somehow it makes, you know, the ill-informed local politician. I don't know if you were paying attention when we introduced everybody to Michael Conley, this little pajama boy.
I like Mike Conley. He's a great state rep. Bernie Sanders guy, Mike Conley.
Right, a Bernie guy. Bernie bros, they don't ever want anyone to go to work. That's because they don't work. They don't understand why anyone works. Just let the government pay for it. Well, that guy doesn't ever want to go back to work. And I can't believe a hardworking guy like you would ever want to be on his side. It just...
Can we talk to the guy who wants to go back to work right now?
If we want to talk about Frank Mendoza, let me introduce Frank Mendoza. He went viral yesterday when the video of his rant outside his restaurant in the North End went everywhere. And now it's even bigger, Frank. You're going to another level because while we were sleeping, the president of the United States and his $80 million followers on Twitter got to see your rant. So, Frank, before you get too big for us, we were hoping to talk to you and see how you're doing. What's going on?
Nothing. Good morning, guys. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Good morning. Well, how has your life changed since that little video went viral?
It hasn't changed much. You know, I know I got a lot of texts this morning, a lot of phone calls this morning, but, you know, it hasn't changed yet. Anyway, it's still early. It's only 8 o'clock. You know, I've been up since 4 o'clock. So.
You're still closed, correct? You're still closed.
Yes, the restaurant is still closed. My deli does open. My deli is open at 11 o'clock and it closes at 8. The restaurant right now is completely closed, but we have been starting to do takeout on Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then some days on Sunday, you know. But as time goes on, we're going to have to try to do a lot more takeout.
Were you able to access PPP loans, Frank?
We got the second one.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first one we missed, so the second one we got. So that's why, you know, right now I'm planning on bringing some guys back and start to do work. But the only problem is there's not a lot of people around. So this neighborhood around 4 or 5 o'clock, you started seeing slow down. By 7 o'clock, it's basically a ghost town.
I have been ranting about small business people and just the lack of empathy. The governor, the mayor, they don't seem to care about small business people, restaurant owners, gym owners. You could see it in the plan. It's like you're an afterthought. It's like, whatever, maybe July, Frank, maybe we'll let you make a living in July. Do you feel like they just don't understand what you're going through, how much you've invested in this business?
I actually don't think they understand. I think they don't care. They're not businessmen, so they don't know how to take care of a business. Running a state and a city, I consider it a business. So I don't think they're doing that good of a job. I like both of them. You know, I voted for Marty Walsh. You know what I mean? I hosted him at my restaurant for one of his victories. Nice big dinner. We closed down the whole place for him. I was a Baker fan, but I just don't understand. The one thing that I understand, and I was listening to you guys talk earlier, there's like a double standard going on. Because you say, well, you know, the workers, vulnerable this, vulnerable that. But why is Walmart open?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The government.
I just don't understand why Walmart is open. Because people can't get sick if you go to Walmart. You know? And, you know, if the majority of people are you know, there's a fear going on that are, you know, not only are people don't want to go back to work, okay? There's a fear out there that you're going to get sick. But people are still going to Target.
Well, right. but the question is, though, Frank, you know, how many, you know, I'm sure you see the polls where still a majority of Americans say they support these lockdown measures. Majority of Americans still wouldn't go out. I mean, so if you open in the and there's no consumer confidence, is that, are you concerned about that?
Oh, 100%. Oh, we're getting ready for it to be slow. We're getting ready for it to be slow. But, I think it'd be a good idea to, if you're going to do it, do it. You know, go for it. I just don't understand what the difference is. If you go get a haircut, and if I go get a haircut and I'm sick, okay, I may probably get the guy sick. That's what they're saying. But I just don't understand the difference. I don't understand the difference from outside seating and inside seating.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the virus.
If being outside is safe, why in my neighborhood did the city take down all the basketball hoops?
It's a good question. Yeah. It's certainly safer, and we're learning that now. That was a dumb thing to do. It's one of many dumb things. When this thing began, Frank, I said it's going to be tough for the North End because other restaurants, bigger restaurants, you know, some of the people that own the restaurants on the task force, they're not concerned because they can distance. They can spread the tables out. You really can't do that, can you?
No, I really can't do that. We look at our dining room and we start seeing 6 feet apart. It's almost impossible. You're going to be taking up my whole place. You know? And you know, we started off with a restaurant that sat 18 people. Okay. Imagine that poor guy. Okay. What's a guy that has 18 seats separates six feet apart, you know, and now they have a guy that's representing us or helping the governor and I guess the mayor write up a setup for how we should get started. You know, I've never met him before. You know, he has a chain of restaurants. You could barely afford to eat there. Unless you have a really good job, you could barely afford to eat there. Okay. All right. This is the kind of person that probably will look down on a person like me because I sell a chicken parm. You know, I know those guys, man. I used to get laughed at 25 years ago. You know what I mean? Cause I was making chicken parms and now I'm still here. And the people that were laughing at me are not in this neighborhood anymore. You know, this is the double standard. You know, if you're going to open up the city for a few, you should open up for everybody.
Frank, how many employees do you have?
Between the two places, just the two places, just the corner of Prince and Salem, I have 60 people.
Now 60?
Yeah, wow. Now down to maybe 12.
How many would you be able to bring back if you, like, phase two is 3 weeks from next Monday, so let's say June 15th, whenever that is, how many do you think you'd be able to bring back?
Okay, Marty Walsh said the other day that he thinks 25% of an office building is too much,
right,
too fast. That's ridiculous. The size of these office buildings are humongous. You can spread them out as much as you can. If the city requires me to open up at 25%, I'll have one waitress, one cook, one dishwasher. And to tell you the truth, I may not even open up. I'd rather just maybe wait out of protest for 100%. And another thing, too, these guys tell you how much they care about you. They want you to open up 25%, right? I still have to pay 100% of my bills.
Right.
Okay. Oh, why does the city say, you know what, Frank? We're going to tell your landlord, since you could only open for 25%, that we're going to give the other 75% to him.
Yeah. Are you? Would you consider going rogue? Would you consider breaking the rules? They're not laws; they're edicts from the governor or mayor. Would you consider defiantly opening up and, you know, facing the consequences?
You know, to tell you the truth, I shouldn't be saying it, but yes. All right, because I'm all set. I'm all set with 25%. I'm all set with 50%, and I'm all set with 75%. I just don't understand it. I don't know who the scientist is that says five people could contaminate less than 30. And I have to worry about even filling up the place. Another thing, too, that I was just talking to my brother, because he has a restaurant in Hoboken. He's going through the same thing. You guys know how many restaurants there are in the North End, right? It's over 100.
Right.
All right. So there's plenty of space to be social distancing yourself. If you walk by my place and you're with your wife or your kids and you say to yourself, "Oh, honey, this place is a little too crowded. I don't feel comfortable in here." You have maybe another 75 places to choose from. Okay. All right. Okay. So, you know, I don't know where these scientists are. I don't know where they're getting this facts from and stuff like that, but I'm all set. I am totally, totally against it. Okay. I knew about those phases before they announced them. Okay. Because a friend of mine works for the state. And I told them, that's ridiculous. What's the difference between the beach and my restaurant?
Well, I mean, we have a lot of studies.
What's the difference between a little park for little kids and a beach?
Well, I'll tell you. Well, I agree on that. But we have a lot of studies, Frank, that show that transmission for this virus outdoors is basically non-existent. There is a difference between outdoors and an enclosed space with the same air that's circulating, like in a small dining room. I mean, that's
don't go in. If you feel that way, just don't go in. What am I supposed to do? Get a new air filtration system?
No, but I'm saying, there's no difference.
Because a scientist and Marty Walsh tells me so.
Well, I mean, we have studies that there's no outdoor transmission basically with this virus in China. There was like 2 out of 1,100 cases. So outdoors, I agree, totally safe. Shutting down the basketball courts was stupid, but there is a difference between the outdoors and an enclosed area.
But the point is, Reamer, these people who said you can't play basketball, you can't go to the beach, you can't, you know, walk outside are the same people saying, you know, 25% is about right. They're making it up. There's no reason for Frank or any other business owner to trust these people. They don't know what they're doing.
No, I don't trust them at all. And now they're going to create so much more problems for us. Okay. There's been a rumor that they're saying that the hostesses is going to have to take temperatures. I won't do it. I swear to you, I will not do it. Okay. I will not do it. That's not my job. If the city wants me to take temperatures of the people, it's because they want me to look like a jerk. Let them walk around the city and take the temperatures of people. Okay. All right. Just like they give tickets out. Okay. They'll give you a ticket. They'll give you a ticket in this neighborhood. There's maybe sometimes 6 or 7 meter maids in this neighborhood. Let them take the measurements, the temperatures of civilians. Because I'm not doing it.
Well, you make a good point. Yep. Meter maids are essential. You know, restaurants are not. That's another just arbitrary choice they made. Meter maids are working and working hard. How long can you go on, Frank? They said maybe July 1st, maybe not. It could be August, could be September. At what point at what point will they break you?
Oh, please. I've been broken. You know that I heard the Dave Portnoy from Barstools, and I said to myself, wow, this guy's 100% correct, you know, and I've never say anything, all right? I'm not the type of person to go out there, hold signs, protest. I would never say anything, but you know what? It doesn't seem like they know what they're doing. I don't trust them, and there's a double standard, okay? That's it. You know what I mean? If you go to open up Target, you should be able to get a T-shirt. You know, there was a gentleman in New York City that makes handmade shirts. So you have to go there. He measures you, and then it gives you the shirt, and then you gotta go back and you gotta pick up the shirt. He was sick. He was saying to himself, "Why is the liquor store able to sell vodka and I'm not able to sell a shirt?" But you have to go get measured, come back a week or two later for the shirt. And the guy is 100% right. And another thing too, you know, I've been reading a lot of comments on some of these posts and on Twitter and stuff like that, saying that I'm money hungry. Well, guess what? I'm not. I was born poor. Okay. Okay. And I really don't care about money. And to tell you the truth, I can keep my place closed because I work damn hard. Okay. 25 years. So I'll keep it closed. Okay. All right. I'm not afraid of closing. I'm guaranteeing you this is, you could quote me on this. I'm not going anywhere. I will never, ever close. Okay. I love what I do. I love this neighborhood. So you know what? But you know what? There is people that are going to close. All right.
Remind us again of the name of your place.
What's that?
Remind us again the name of your place. So you open.
Monica.
Say it again.
Monica's Trattoria.
Monica's Trattoria. I saw it on the video. Some tells me you may be serving the President of the United States dinner whenever that day comes.
I would love to. I to tell you the truth, this couldn't have happened at a better time because the economy was doing really well. I'm telling you, we had a great winter. Okay, not too much snow. Okay, and you know, you may not like him, you may disagree with him, he may not talk as fancy as other people, but we had a great economy and everything was going nice and smooth. Okay. I've told somebody the other day, it took me 25 years to get where I am and one day for them to take it away from me. Okay. It's not fair. All right. That's it. I don't understand why my place is so dangerous, but Target isn't.
Well, that's the question people have struggled with. My question is, Frank, as a business owner, there was an article in the Boston Globe and you were included in it with other North End restaurant owners. And one of them had concern about opening up quickly, then having a huge spike in cases, closing again, how that would be even more disastrous than the situation now. I'm wondering your thoughts on that.
My thoughts? I don't want anybody to get sick. You know what I mean? Do you actually think I want to get anybody to get sick?
I
said that I would rather get coronavirus than close my place down. And that's a fact. You know, when this first started, I was waiting for it. I wanted to get sick because I wanted to get it over with. But they're brainwashing you. Okay. Why isn't all the homeless junkies and the Boston Common, why are they not getting sick? Or why are they sick? Okay. All right.
Well, many of them are. They've done tests on homeless people.
And another thing too, I have a fear of a lot of things. You know, this city, this weekend, there was 3 shootings in the city of Boston this weekend. What should we do? Okay. A police officer can't shake people down. Okay. All right. If you see the same kids in the same corner every single day, okay, they don't go to work. A police officer is not allowed to go shake them down. Okay. I'm scared about everything, man. Let me tell you something. I got guys that come here and work every single day. Okay. From some hot zones. Okay. I got my children running around here. I don't want anybody to get sick. And I know regularly in September when my kids went to school and they go back to school in September, okay, which they probably won't because they don't want them to go to school, okay? They would rather them keep them at home, okay? Probably have less teachers and one day they're going to have a robot. They're going to replace a teacher with an iPad, okay? All right? So now every September when my kids go to school, you know what happens? They get sick. They come home with lice. They got fevers, okay? They throw up. They have diarrhea. Okay, what do you think is going to happen in September if these kids go back to school? This virus is going to disappear. Let me tell you something. My kids don't like it. They're 13, 11, and 7. They hate the Zoom thing. They don't like it. They hate it. They hate being home. They love going to school. Okay, and let me tell you something. You know, if you put your trust in these people, let me tell you, God bless you, man. Okay, God bless you. I'm a Roman Catholic. Like I barely go to church. I haven't gone to church since my mother's passed. But I do pray to God and I pray to the Virgin Mary. Okay, I put my faith in God, my family, and my country before I put my faith in Marty Walsh and Governor Baker. Okay, that's it. And I don't hide neither. Okay, all right. I don't give speeches or go on CNN. Okay, in my living room. All right, Marty Walsh and Governor Baker should be walking around. Okay, talking to people. Asking for people's ideas, not asking a guy from Davios, okay? Or I mean, that drives around probably an $80,000 car, okay? That probably looks down at a person like myself, okay? Suggest what I should do. Come on, man. When did these guys become God? I didn't elect Marty Walsh for him to become my God or my father, telling me how I should wipe my ass and cook. You know what I mean? Well, come on, man. You know what I mean?
Well.
Let me tell you something. You guys better watch out, man, because a lot of this stuff that's going on, okay, all right, happened only in third world countries, okay? When they tried to impeach a president, okay, a few months ago, wasting everybody's time, if that happened in a third world country, he would have got impeached, okay? We're lucky that we're here, man. I'm an American. I love this country. I came here when I was 3 years old. My father was a political refugee from Buenos Aires. They were hanging people there. They were killing people there in the 80s. Okay? Please, man. You got to be kidding.
Well, I'll say if this restaurant thing doesn't work out, Frank, a lot of people are suggesting you run for mayor. You challenge Marty, maybe run for governor. Who knows?
I think if I know how to read and write better, I would love to do it. Yeah.
It hasn't stopped Marty.
My nephew, right, just graduated from Boston Latin, right? He just got a really nice little scholarship to LSU. All right. So I always tell him, Matt, you're going to become the first Italian Spanish mayor in the city of Boston. Yeah, and he laughs. But I don't want to do this, man. Let me tell you something. I just want to go back to my normal life. I want to see the people that I see every single day. I want my kids to go to school. That's it.
Well, I hope Monica's trattoria bounces back, because I know a lot of people would love to go there, love to eat there and give you their business.
Man. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you, you putting us out there, man, Nobody was representing us out over here in the North End. You know what I mean? We're here all alone, and we're a group of people that are very quiet, very private. Yeah, I don't want to rant like that, man. I don't want to have a fight with anybody. I just want to be left alone.
Good luck, and I hope you remember us when the president calls and when the president visits. Because I have a feeling, Frank Mendoza, you're kind of a big deal right now. You're going to become a much bigger deal as this thing goes on. A lot of people are rooting for you, my friend. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. I really appreciate you saying that, man. God bless.
Monica's Trattoria. Not open yet, thanks. But when it is, Reamer, we're going to have a podcast dinner there, or lunch or something there. You can wear a mask, or you can sit 6 feet away. I don't care.
I will sit outside. But, you can sit inside. How about that?
I love outside, too. You're right. I mean, and you got Frank on that last rant. It was a dumb question. But Frank's point is, it's one word, Reamer, freedom. You should have the freedom. You should have the freedom to go there if you want. If you don't. I mean, you have a freedom to go to Walmart or go to Target or go to McDonald's drive-through, or you should be able to go to Monica's Trattoria. Well, you don't need someone like Marty Walsh telling you, no, that's against my rules. It's not a law. It's a rule from the mayor, a rule from the governor, that you can eat at certain places but not at others.
Well,
it's
just crazy. And I think ultimately, the role of government, and we disagree. I think the government obviously should have a bigger role in society than you do. I think the government has to protect its vulnerable people. And at the start of this coronavirus in March, we really didn't know anything about it. So I think the full lockdown was absolutely the right thing to do. But now that we know more about it, we know who's vulnerable, who's not. Ultimately, and this makes me sound like a bedrock conservative, but healthy people should be responsible for their own health. I mean, every single winter when there's a flu season, we let people go out uninhibited. We don't put lockdown restrictions on healthy people. So, and the other thing is too, as Frank said, again, if you're a small business owner and you see these big box stores still open, bang in business. I always go back to the Target in South Bay and Dorchester. They had employees there test positive for COVID-19. They didn't close. They just said they sanitized and moved on. So again, why, if you're someone like Frank Malzone, I totally respect the passion. Of course he's outraged. How could he not be?
Frank Melzone is a Red Sox legend. That was Frank Mendoza.
Frank Mendoza, yes.
Right now, he's just a lowly restaurant owner in the North End trying to make a living. Soon, he's going to become a star. You watch. Overnight, Portnoy tweeted out Frank's rant from the other day. It was tweeted by lots of people, but Dave Portnoy did it to his million-plus followers. And then he got retweeted by Donald J. Trump in the middle of the night last night.
Portnoy has been seeking that president retweet for a long time.
And that's right. We predicted he would get it from Don Jr., but he got it from Don Sr.
Yep.
And it's still early, but you would agree, Cullinane, that this is going to go to another level, correct? Because not only are 80 million people going to see it, but a lot of people are going to relate to it. They're going to root for him. Are going to want to hear more from him so they can hear it right here. Cause that was a pretty good rant. Frank just went on right here.
He's passionate. He's passionate. He's not yelling and screaming. He's just passionate about getting back to work. I mean, a lot of people can identify with what he's going through.
I also noticed Donald J. Trump last night retweeting your good buddy, Alan Dershowitz, Jerry. So good to know that Dersh still has the presidency here.
No, that's Cullinane's good buddy. He's not my good. Why don't you see if we get Dershowitz on?
I'll text him. We haven't texted in a while.
Give him a call, Cullinane. All right. I think that was good. I think Frank is going to hit a nerve with a lot of people. And I know it's tough for North End restaurants. They can't social distance. They won't. This is going to be another big showdown because lots of restaurants, big restaurants in the suburbs and chain restaurants and whatever, Applebee's and you know, the Red Lobster are going to be able to find a way to keep table, spread the tables out a little bit. Frank can't do that. His place isn't big enough. None of them, 75 places in the North End, none of them are big enough to keep people 6 feet apart. You're going to have to just agree to take your chances. And he's going to have to hope people show up because they're not going to be able to follow all the guidelines that the mayor, the governor, or whoever it comes down with. And at some point, they're going to have to say, screw your guidelines and just open up. All 75 of them on the same day would be great. Can't bust them all, just like gyms. The only way this guy in Oxford is going to be able to pull it off is if other gyms support him and follow suit. One guy they can shut down. One guy they showed in New Jersey, they can go there and just arrest people. But if 75 or 100 or whatever gyms open up, they got no shot. That's the only way. That's what would happen in golf.
Again, it's so hard, though, because you do see, like, do you think, so you don't think there should be a phased reopening at all? You just think let's just all go at once?
Yes.
Really? Because I do. I mean, I do think there is a difference between allowing al fresco dining and a gym. I mean, a gym is a petri dish. I mean, you're going to have locker rooms open too. I mean,
okay, have you followed the other states? Georgia opened up.
We don't know their numbers because their governor fudged the numbers. So we don't know how many cases they actually have.
Okay, you would know it if they had a spike, as you like to say. You would know it. Georgia has handled this great. Florida's doing great. Texas, much better than New York or Massachusetts or New Jersey. I mean, these states where the governors are literally killing people. Andrew Cuomo is literally killing people. And eventually everyone's going to get to know, even if you watch MSNBC, who's carrying his water, or CNN, where he's giggling with his little brother, even if that's how you get your news, eventually the truth is going to seep out and you're going to find out what a monster Andrew Cuomo is. He should have been arrested by now. He is literally killing people. He has literally killed thousands of senior citizens. He is incompetent. At some point, he's going to be exposed for the monster that he is. But we don't have to get into that right now. Let me do Shay, and then we're going to talk to Cullinane. Is going to give us the whole lowdown on Caller Daddy. That was his job. I signed him as Caller Daddy correspondent.
I'm the Caller Daddy beat guy, I guess.
It's better to be Red Sox beat guy.
Can anyone make news like Portnoy? I mean, it's amazing. He could just turn on his phone, send out a 1 minute video, and suddenly it's big news around the world. He's amazing at keeping his face in the news. But you can give us the whole lowdown on that, Cullinane, after I tell you about our guys at Shea Concrete. Shea Concrete, a fourth generation owned and operated business that's working hard day in and day out to be a trusted precast concrete partner. It's a local company, but they got places all over New England, four state-of-the-art manufacturing facilities. They're all open. You can stop in and check them out. You can stop in and talk to the good people at Shea Concrete. They're not hiding. They might have a mask on, but they'll be there and they'll take good care of you. If you're a contractor, got a little free time, let me tell you some of the products Shea can deliver to your job site today, ready for installation. Water and wastewater products, barriers and bullards, stairs and bulkheads, electrical and communication products. The list goes on and on. These guys can do it all. Just give them a call, talk to them. They'll explain it all to you. If you're an engineer, if one of those geeks and you're trying to design something, Shea can help you. They can help design your next project. Give them a call for more information or for an estimate, or just log on to SheaConcrete.com. And if you do, demand a hat. Ask for a hat. They got hats, awesome hats. The it's a couple of big stories, big media stories. You know, we love media stories.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you had Don Jr. versus Howie Hampton. So that's Don Jr. feuding with Howard Stern because Howard is such a sellout. He's the biggest sellout in media history. Don Jr. retweeted a story where his old sidekick Artie Lang called him out, where they mentioned that he wants to be like Jimmy Kimmel. He wants to be in with the in crowd like his good buddy Jimmy Kimmel, and he sold out everybody, including Donald Trump, who used to be his friend, He used to be his favorite guest. Now he's turned on Trump, turned on Trump followers, and Don Jr. is not standing for it anymore. Trump so he's followers. Been attacking him on Twitter. I've been enjoying that. That's well, not
Stern,
going away.
Well, Howard Stern is absolutely right. Donald Trump does not give a shit about his supporters. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, I don't even understand how that's controversial.
I don't even understand what that means. What does that mean? Do you think he gives a shit about America?
No, absolutely not. He cares about enriching himself and his family, and he's done a nice job of
enriching.
That.
Enriching, he's lost like over $1 billion. Unlike those grifters, Biden and Obama and Clinton, he didn't get rich.
I mean, Jerry, how can you?
Fortune.
I understand you think Howie Hamptons has gone soft in recent years, but how can you take Don Jr., who's done nothing in his life of any consequence, over Howard Stern, who's built the greatest radio empire, media empire ever? I mean, come on.
I just told you, Howard Stern was the greatest. I was as big a fan as anybody. I loved him. He sold out. He's a whole different guy. And I'll say this. He's lost his mind.
It's kind of ballsy, though. I actually disagree with you to some extent, because I do think there are a lot of Trump supporters that listen to Howard Stern. So to spit in their face the way he did, that takes balls to do that, don't you think?
Yeah, but his loyalties lie with Jimmy Kimmel, who hates Trump, with Jimmy Fallon, with Rosie O'Donnell. He hangs out with Rosie O'Donnell. That's what he wants. He wants to be one of those people, as Artie Lang points out, those people they used to mock. Those are now his friends. He has sold out. We know the people on his show. He wouldn't give them a time of day. The people who work hard behind the scenes, doesn't care about them. He cares about what Rosie has to say, or Jennifer Aniston. Is he going to get invited to her place on the 4th of July? That's what matters to him. That and saving stray cats. Those are the important things to Howie Hamptons now. Don Jr.'s pointed it out. I give Don Jr. credit for the balls. You challenge Howie Hamptons, you know, that's a feud that's going to,
it's going to end poorly for somebody with no intelligence or wit like Donald Trump Jr. I mean, this guy is such a moron. I don't see how anybody
on Twitter. He's much better than his father on Twitter.
He can spell. I mean, at least he can do that. That is that's true.
He doesn't just capitalize words, you know, arbitrarily. But okay, media story number two. We're building up the call of daddy. Media story number two, and it just made my day. Joe Rogan sides with Spotify for $100 million. Now he's got the most popular podcast. I think consistently he's in the top 10, top five, number one, more than anyone. It is a marvel. It is a phenomenon that I don't understand. I listen to it occasionally. I look at it. And if he has a guest that interests me, if he has, you know, somebody that I find interesting, he had a couple of great podcasts with our friend Lenny Clark. And he has these 3-hour conversations with people in the news. The last one I listened to in its entirety was Bill Maher. It was excellent. I tweeted how he almost made me like Bill Maher. Bill Maher was really good with him. They were funny. He's a great conversationalist. I look at it more than half the time and say, who the hell is that? He has MMA guys on. He has people on like shrinks or something. And I say, I don't have 3 hours to do that. It amazes me. He says he gets 190 million downloads a month. Wow. That is 60 million. No, how many is that a day? 6 million? No,
not good. Jesus, it's a lot. That's
how
a
many
lot.
Shows does he do per week? He does what, like 3 a week?
Yeah, at least 3.
That's true. I'm not even counting like individual. I'm talking days. I think he talked, you know, people don't all listen on the day it comes out. He's good at it. He says he does it without notes. He just does a 3-hour conversation, and they're good. But sometimes his guests, I think, you know, Turtle Boy's more interesting than some of his guests, yet he'll still get 20 million downloads. He is a phenomenon. He's now going to get, we don't know the exact terms, but he's going to get, you know, 20, 30 million a year to have 3 conversations a week. He's my new hero. What a gig.
There's a lot of tentacles to this, right? Because one of the things I was thinking about yesterday was he's also huge on YouTube. He puts all of his shows on YouTube.
Not anymore.
But I don't know if you've been seeing what's going on with YouTube lately, but they're taking down a lot of videos. And this is a guy who is not a fan of censorship in any form. So is this, yes, there's a lot of money on the table. Yes, it's taking away business from the Apples of the world and things like that to go to Spotify. But is this more of a censorship play? Like, I wonder in his brain, because that's such a passionate topic of his, is does he want to go to a place that's not going to limit him in any way, where he's going to have to question, if I bring on a guest, whether Jerry Callahan likes that guest or not, he's having conversations that people aren't having out there. And good he point. Won't have to worry anymore whether or not that conversation is going to be a problem or not.
Oh, I'll say this, Dave. Even if it's not, hold on, Alex, even if it's not about censorship, you can present it that way. You can spin it that way, which would be a great move. Yep. And he'll say, I'm getting away from YouTube. That, I mean, he said using the C word cost him, I forget the number, like $10 million in advertising, because some advertisers said you can't use that word, and he doesn't care. I mean, he really is, you know, his own man. He does his own thing. No one controls him. He does stand-up comedy still. And I watched his Netflix special a few months ago. I mentioned before. And I didn't think it would be any good, because he doesn't strike me as that funny on the podcast. But it was excellent. And when I heard him with Lenny and Mike Clark talking about the old days, his start in comedy in Boston, it was great. I mean, he's a pretty good comedian. He's not, you know, Bill Barr level or Dave Chappelle level, but he's pretty good, and he could make a living doing that. He doesn't need, you know, anybody telling him what to do.
Well, I mean, I think the 100 million was probably a bigger reason why he went to Spotify than any sort of censorship stand. I mean,
yeah, but he's making crazy money regardless. Like, I mean, how much money, for God's sakes, can one person have? I think
you're on my side of the world. On my side of the fence. How much money can somebody have? I agree.
I guess my point is, if he didn't take the 100 million, he'd be fine. He'd be okay. But the thing I was saying before, Rogan, at least, is like, we talk about this all the time, Jerry. He was literally the guy to start podcasts. Like, he was one of the, I mean, well, besides Alex Reamer.
Thank you, Dave.
Sorry, I apologize. Yes.
Come on, you were on that.
Him, Shapiro, Simmons. I mean, these guys, they were at the front of the line, and they are winning handsomely.
Right. Well, Simmons got Ringer signed with Spotify too. And you talk about, you know, we were going in this direction anyway, where podcasts were increasing in popularity. The cumulative audience for terrestrial radio was declining. This pandemic, I think, is going to send that further crashing. And a lot of white collar people, I don't think, are ever going to go back to the office, to be honest with you. I think this work from home for a lot of people in white collar professions is here to stay. And that is also better news, I think, for podcasts than terrestrial radio, which a lot of people don't stream on their phones. They're commuting.
You're right. The pandemic has hurt podcasts. I think the average are down, I don't know, 20-30%. It's nothing compared to talk radio or radio. I mean, it is destroyed, especially here in New England sports radio, because there's no baseball. And, you know, my old station, your old station, Alex, is just dead in the water. They have no Red Sox. Even if they had the Red Sox, they were going to take a hit. But they're, you know, their numbers are lower than ever in the history of the station. And the, I don't know what it is, 25, 30 year history of the station, the numbers have never been lower, and they have no advertising. The advertisers have bailed, you know, car dealers have bailed, and, you know, restaurants, obviously, they're out. So, I mean, it is a new dark day for sports radio, talk radio, and podcasts are stepping into the abyss to a large extent. And the other thing is, and Dave's right, the big podcasts, the ones that got in early, eventually everyone's figuring it out. I say this all the time. I spent, you know, months learning about podcasts, listening to all of them at some point.
Trying
to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And it's still a mystery in some cases. You listen to some of them and you go, how is that? You know,
every day we'd walk into Legacy Club, Jerry would go, right, this podcast sucks. It's like the fifth most popular in the world. It's terrible. You hear about, you know, Buck Sexton, he's killing it right now.
Yeah. But, and, you know, some, I understand some, not so much, but anyway, they're young people listen. So as the, you know, the people get older, there's going to be more podcast listeners and fewer radio listeners. It's just a fact, which is a good thing for us. We're happy about that. We're happy for Joe Rogan.
Yeah. And from a business perspective, there's no risk, right? Like when HBO tried to do a deal with Bill Simmons to create a new television type series and it just completely bombed, they gave him a boatload of money. There's risk associated with it because you're sending somebody to a new place to go consume that person's content. Joe Rogan isn't even really moving anything. He's taking his show off Apple. He's taking it off Stitcher and all these other places.
Right.
But all those people are still going to be there from Spotify automatically. And then it's going to be very easy to get the other people over. And they know the exact financial situation. It's a science, basically.
Right. And the bigger he gets.
Yeah.
The bigger he gets, the more guests, the more big guests he gets. Yep. I mean, he's guest dependent, obviously. He says he wants to leave LA and move to Texas, you know, like other Dave Rubin said it too, because of the taxes and the regulations. But I don't think he can, because he needs those big guests to come in their, you know, their Ubers or their limos and do the show. I mean, you could do some of them remotely, obviously, but like he had the other day, Elon Musk, that's huge. You have Elon yep. Musk on saying anything and people are going to listen. He had, what's his name? What's the guy's hiding in Russia?
Snowden.
No, Snowden. Snowden calls in and wants to talk to you. Might know how big you have to be that Edward Snowden's calling in and say, you know, can I come on?
You gotta wait. Hold on. It's totally crazy. But you wonder, like, in the future, I think
we'll put you on hold.
We got Lenny Clark scheduled that day. Sorry. Hold on.
It's crazy. But I think that's gonna be the future of podcasting. You know, it's good. And my question is, you know, when is it almost all the big ones going to go to either exclusivity with an outlet or subscriber based? Like the newspaper model is now becoming subscriber based. I think podcasting.
Okay, Colin, I'm going subscriber based over here. He thinks he's got it all figured.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, like these podcasts have such a fervent following. You know, if you were a devout, pardon my take listener, let's say, if they said, that's it, you $5 a month. And I mean, I don't know how many, I don't know if they'd lose any listeners. I'm sure they'd lose a few, but. Not a lot.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, listen, it's a cup of coffee.
And three podcasts, and Cullen knows this, like our buddy Nick DiPaolo, he's so over the top and offensive that he can't get the advertisers, so he had to go subscriber, and he's doing great. And you could get some free ones, but you pay extra to get, you know, whatever, gold membership. And he's great because he will not allow anyone to censor him. And I think that's what Rogan, what a lot of people would like. They don't want anyone telling them what to do or pulling their YouTube videos down. Or, I mean, it is scary out there. When you think about right now, you have epidemiologists, you have doctors doing videos explaining why they're against the lockdown, and YouTube's pulling them down, you know, and Google is censoring them. It's scary. Well,
if they're like anti-vaxxers, like that Dr. Judy, whatever her name is, Malkovich.
You should think she should have a right to speak?
If her speech is directly endangering potentially millions of people, I'm okay with her getting
YouTube. YouTube CEO said anyone who speaks out against the CDC guidelines, WHO guidelines, we will not allow their videos to be posted. That's insane. That's just, I mean, that's so un-American. But don't get we don't need to.
That's happening with every.
We won't get too well today. We won't get going on that.
Yeah, that's happening with every platform. I mean, you were talking about Dennis Prager last week. He just posted today that Facebook is taking down a lot of his content and banning a lot of his content because he's posting fake news. He's suing,
and it's a big case. Dennis Prager's whole life is fighting these tech companies. And
isn't he the idiot who licked a spoon and to prove he, you know, is going to get coronavirus or something? Didn't he do that, Dennis Prager?
He's in his 70s. Yeah. I don't think he would do that.
He did. I'm going to Google it. He's
got a Corolla's partner. They made a movie, and it's you should root for people like that. You don't want anyone to be censored. I don't want anyone. That's like saying I would want, you know, Bill Maher censored. We don't want censorship.
You just unsubscribed from HBO due to Bill Maher, you snowflake.
Yeah, well, I get to see him on YouTube every week now. Will never take him down. I didn't do it because of Bill Maher. Just to set the record straight.
We'll do a little segue here. I unsubscribed from HBO because of that rat bastard who ran HBO Boxing, who just killed my favorite podcast, Call Her Dad. That's my
segue. All right. You're up, Colin. I know you're nervous. You've been backstage. You're like the last guest on Jimmy Kimmel or something, the last guest on Tonight Show. Out comes Shane. Tried to keep up Call Her Daddy feud. I listened to Portnoy. It sounds like it's no more. It's done. They can't come to an agreement. But what happened? This sounded like a great gig. Chicks were working once, talking about, you know, having sex and whatever, you know, going down on their boyfriends, and they were making a fortune, but it wasn't good enough.
Apparently. I mean, I think this is a trend. I was talking about last night with Turtle Boy. This is a trend just with kind of online influencers. They use somebody else's platform, get so big so fast, and then they don't want to see somebody else taking more and more of their money. So it's a tough thing to explain in a couple seconds, but basically what happened was these two girls got so big that they decided they demanded more money, which, by the way, they demanded more money and they really, we find out, were making $500,000 a year each. Now, their base salary was $75,000 plus incentives based on listenership, but their listenership was so high that it turned out they were making $500,000. So the reason,
and merchandise and other deals, right?
Millions, and they're trying to do alcohol deals now, which is a trend in podcasting. So, you know, that's why Dave is kissing their ass. They're breaking up because they were trying to stab Dave in the back, and Dave kept going back to him with better and better deals while, you know, one of the girls' boyfriend, who I alluded to, who works for HBO Sports and killed boxing for HBO.
It's Mr. Suit, or what do they call him?
They call him Suit Man. Yes. And they're already selling merch. Yeah. They're already selling merch and probably making a lot of money off that. But he's behind the scenes trying to work deals with Wondery, which is a podcast network. So there's all this slimy and shady shit going on. And Portnoy, for all his faults, though, he is the most transparent human being on the planet, it seems like, because he just goes on the Call Her Daddy podcast feed and just decides to air out all the dirty laundry and even admits, you know, he offered them three deals that gave them what they want, and it still wasn't enough. And then it turned out that one of the girls decided she wanted to take a deal, but the other wouldn't because she's married. She's dating Suit Man, and now the girls are splitting up. So like everything so that was, So they're broken up. It appears that they are broken up, and that I would assume the talented one, to be honest, Alex, who hosts the show, I'd assume she's going to sign a deal and stay with Barstool. And then the other girl who's controlled by Suit Man, maybe she comes to it. I mean, Barstool likes money, so maybe she comes to a deal. Kind of Portnoy alluded to that last night. Maybe she signs a deal with Barstool and does her own separate podcast with them because she's still under
contract. Would that work? Would that work, or do they have to be together?
Yeah, I mean, come on. They don't have to be together. I mean, Alex is the talented one. She's like YouTube talented, right? You know what I mean? People keep joking, how do you listen to this shit? No, she is internet talented, and she can do it on her own. Plug anyone else with her, that show will move on and be fine. The other girl isn't. She's a great number two. She's annoying as shit, but she just worked because of Alex. She'll find a way to be successful. You know what I mean? They're so massive. They have 1 million followers each on Instagram and Twitter and all this shit. They'll find a way to make money on her.
There are other copycat podcasts, right? They spawned this new breed of podcasts where chicks come on and talk about anal and stuff, right?
I was ahead of their time. I was talking about anal on sports talk radio like 4 years ago. So I was. I was way ahead of my time. Oh, I mean, when can I start that podcast? You want to do one, Jerry? Know. It's lucrative.
You need to find someone else like you. These two chicks, they had similar experiences. I don't know if there is anyone like you, but find someone like you guys. Sit down and talk about your sex lives. I don't see why not. Maybe Portnoy will make you a deal.
I have
half
friends.
$1 million a year.
I have friends who have expressed a lot of interest in starting that kind of show. So we'll have to see.
But these are two girls. These are two girls who, you know, they have a rabid fan base, and they go on this show, right? And they just cry poor every episode. They live in this shitbox apartment together, blah, 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 blah. We find out they're making $500,000, which goes against basically everything they've ever said on their podcast. Hmm. And it's just, that's why when Dave Portnoy comes on and he uses their feed to shit all over them, their audience is siding with Portnoy because they've basically been lied to this entire time. You know, right. it's wild how it's all played out.
Turn on Portnoy, turn on the Stoolies. It's not going to be pretty. That's not going to end well unless you come back, you know, on bended knee.
Yeah.
It's not going to go well. But I can't believe how popular they are. I can't believe how much money they're making. And they just blew it. I mean, they had a great thing going and it's gone. But
I think that's a story for a lot of these internet celebrities, right? Like they use somebody else's base and hard work, and then they get so big that, you know, they want it all after that, and they're willing to, you know, it is literally a lesson in some of the worst decision making and business moves you will ever find. It's going to be a great case study one day of what not to do.
All right. Well, we'll see how they fare in the future. I think you're right. One of them, Alex, is going to do fine. Alex. The other one.
Have you listened, Jerry, to a show?
I listened to bits and pieces, and I did not become a big follower like Cullinane.
I think you're a little out of their demo.
Guys are listening to that, you know, with one hand down their pants. It's
basically,
and they are hot. I'll give them that. At least they are in the pictures. I've never seen them in person.
But they're podcasts. I never understood that. Like the hot woman on the radio thing. Like why do you can't see them? Like what's the these men are just sexually deprived.
You know,
You come on, it's something innately. Like if you know they're hot and they're talking about all this stuff.
These sex deprived men. It's quite sad, actually. I think
they make the world go round. You know that.
I certainly do. I certainly do.
You know that. You've been locked down for 2 months.
It's been hard. This is the longest. This is the most abstinent I've been since I came out. I mean, it's.
That would be a good podcast. Get your roommate to do one.
The one who walked behind my wall. I'll have to see if he's free later. Yeah.
We did not hear from Turtle Boy. I think he's afraid of you, Alex. I do. I think Turtle Boy running scared. He heard you today and he said, uh-oh.
That's
fine. I better not call in.
That's fine. He called me.
The Turtle Riders are always in the comments. They're always lurking.
Comments. Yeah. We had a lot of Turtle Riders, but we had a lot of people who want to hear Turtle Boy come call in and go after you. But maybe next time, Alex. Maybe next time. I'm glad you showed up. I was a little nervous. You got a little rattled last time. I was afraid I might not see you today. But
isn't the image of me stomping around in my childhood bedroom what everyone wanted to see anyway? I mean, that's just, I think.
Yes, although I tell people all the time, Reamer's not afraid. He'll fight you. He'll go at you. He doesn't, run. And there you were running. You're running like, Tangway did back in the day.
I came back.
That's what I asked the next day if that was running through your head as you were storming off. Is that the number one rule is never to leave the studio, which I never really heard that was a rule until the Kirk and Callahan show. But
but they loved it. I mean, Tangway came back like 8 times. I mean,
we had a boss that said that was the rule and he didn't want to let him back. And we had to beg and because we liked Tangway. He's just a good guy. And they let him back in and he storms off again, And then he got mad that producer Chris Curtis was chasing him with a live mic, which was part of the show. He knew it. Yeah. He was like Alex. He just couldn't control himself. He just got a little flustered and stormed off. And
sometimes you lose it. But that was the number one rule on the wall of EEI, Dave. You're right. Thou shalt not leave studio. It was right there, right after, go to break at the 20 and the 40 and 55.
That seems like
I was the only one to ever actually do that. I think I was the only one to never actually storm off.
And does nobody question that? Like, if you're so pissed and you storm off, that's great radio. Like, what's really the big deal?
I don't think that really was a rule. I don't think that was a rule.
Actually, Tomasi never stormed off because he was too lazy. He was too comfortable in his chair. But all right, Ream team, you got any big stories coming up in Forbes?
Yes.
I don't care about Boston Magazine. They suck. We don't care what you did with them, but we like Forbes. So what do you got in Forbes?
I love everybody who wants to pay me. Let's keep that going. But I have a good story today on Tom Brady. He's a snake oil salesman, medical experts. Not impressed with these immunity vitamins.
I'm generally a Tom Brady defender. I look at these things and just say, do you really need that, Tom? I know he thinks he's got all the answers, all the elixirs, and he thinks he's helping people when he sells stuff. But I look at that and say, I mean, you have all the money. You don't need it. You're on a new team, a new challenge. Everything's great in your life. Do you really need to be selling some immunity booster because of the virus? I mean, that's something that you expect from, I don't know, who would you expect to?
He's not selling it because of the virus. He'd be selling it anyway, and it's just people are nitpicking it because
this is a virus thing, strictly a virus thing, and it's weird.
Is that true? You researched it, Alex. Is that accurate? He created this product because of COVID-19 and now wants to monetize that product?
I mean, the CEO of TB12 did defend the timing of the decision, saying now it's more important than ever to boost your immunity. So I don't think it's coincidental. But here's the thing, the stuff in it, vitamin C, zinc, every dietitian I've spoken to says you get all that in your diet anyway. I mean, so there's no need to pay $45. And if you wanted vitamin C, you can buy vitamin C pills for far cheaper.
So do we shit on everybody who sells pills?
It's a bad look and even more. I mean, these things they're not proven to be any more effective than, again, just eating a balanced diet. And Tom Brady, net worth of God knows how much, selling it for $45 with 36 million unemployed in the country.
But Reamer's defense is he really believes it. He's not saying, let's see if we can make a buck here. He's saying, I really believe this. He's going to make a buck. But remember, he said, he had the best electrolytes and the best protein powder. And we were asking, what's the difference in your electrolytes and someone else's electrolytes? There's no difference. But he would literally brag that he had the best electrolytes and they cost the most. I'll give him that. His powder cost the most. All this stuff. He has a foam roller that's like $200 on his website. So he doesn't.
What do you want to do? It's a business. He's trying to make money. It doesn't make him a bad person that he believes these things and creates products around them and tries to sell them. He's a dime a dozen. Should we shut down GNC while we're at it? Should we shut down the vitamin shop?
I don't know. Is GNC selling supplements that aren't FDA approved? I don't know.
They selling concussion water?
We'll check in on this. Now I want to look more into this, but I don't know. I don't see it as that big of a deal. I don't know.
I like Brady too, Dave. You still have to find a little bit unnecessary selling immunity boosters in the middle of a pandemic.
I would say if he created the product specifically because of it and then started to sell it, I would have more of a problem. But if he already was selling these products anyway and he's got to promote them, that's why you fucking do it. So go for it.
Did you see what our old station did, Alex? They had like a simulated game, like a computer-generated game with Brady playing against the Patriots.
I saw that with Fitzy commentating.
I think this every night when I flip the channels, and I used to go by ESPN or go by, you know, NESN when I'm just checking out what's on. And I look, and last night was like the 89 National League playoffs. I'm saying, who the hell is watching this? Who is watching games from 20 years ago that don't even involve, you know, their team? I mean, it is amazing. They should just put talk show hosts like around the horn kind of guys on there all day, all night, because I don't understand who watches a game from 20 years ago. Anybody who listens to one? Who listens to a baseball game from 20 years ago?
No, and you'll see people tweeting, and they're probably lying, going, "Oh, I just spent my whole night getting lost in the 2011 postseason." It's like, really? Like, that's what you did all night? Like, what the?
I couldn't imagine watching 1 second of it, or listening. Even worse, listening to it. Why would you bump a talk show? Bump Mutt? You know, why does Mutt get bumped in a talk show? I mean, a game from 20, 30 years ago. It can't be. I mean, it's not selling ads. We know that. They got no ads. It can't. They got no listeners. I guess it just fills the time. But anyway, hey, we got to thank Frank Mendoza. Good get there, Cullinane. Frank Mendoza, owner of Monica's Trattoria and Deli, by the way, in the North End. You can go to the deli. You like Frank and you're in Boston, go buy some at the deli. We got to keep Frank's business alive here in these tough times. Although I think when the restaurant goes under, I think he has a future in, I don't know what, politics, podcast.
Maybe on the Jerry Callahan podcast.
Life coach.
Fifth guy.
He could be a co-host. Absolutely. We would love it. He's going to get big. Hopefully not too big for us, but I think.
He can walk down to the Legacy Club one day. He could, when my wife lets us go back there, he can walk down. Why not?
Can't you picture him, Trump going to Monica's Trattoria at some point, just stopping in for a bowl of spaghetti?
I don't know if he'd be able to fit. As Nancy Pelosi says, he's what they say, morbidly obese. I don't know if he'd be able to fit through the doors.
You know what? I have no problem with that because that's the way, you know, it works with Trump. But can you imagine if Trump called, I don't know, Stacey Abrams morbidly obese, or just Donald Trump Jr. or anybody, if Matt Gaetz called Stacey Abrams morbidly obese?
I'd say there's a difference. Well, there's a difference, though. I mean, Donald Trump is the most...
She's a little piece.
All right, but Stacey Abrams, you know, would never... She doesn't... Donald Trump's the most heinous person ever. I mean, so it's okay to say anything about him. I mean, obviously. I mean, please.
I don't mind because I know he's going to fire back. He didn't yet, but he will. That's coming. He said she's a waste of time yesterday. He'll have some choice words. He's going to mention her Botox or her... whatever her plastic.
He only does that for Mika. He only mentions his Botox for Mika.
It's coming. I think he's just getting started with Crazy Nancy, but we will see. Thanks to Frank Mendoza. Good luck, by the way, to Dave Blunden. He's the Oxford gym owner who's opening up, who is going to be, he's going to be dealt with very severely by Charlie Longshanks and the rest of these state officials that will not stand for back talk from these lowly commoners. So I don't expect good things from him, but I give him credit. I hope more gym owners follow suit. The best thing for Dave Blunden and at the Prime Fitness in Oxford, if other gyms bond together and open up, that's the only way this is going to work. So let's do it, gym owners, and good luck to Dave Blunden. Thanks, Reamer. You can read Reamer at Forbes.com, correct? Is it just Forbes.com?
Forbes, Outsports, sometimes Boston Mag. Who knows what else I have in the works? Pride Month's coming up. You don't know, Jerry. You don't know where you'll find me.
Yeah, Pride Month. That's big. That hasn't been canceled. What about Bear Week? Is that canceled?
All canceled. Provincetown canceled all festivals.
See, it's funny how some of these little petty tyrants try to top each other. In Somerville, they canceled everything up till next year. So Christmas is canceled in Somerville because their mayor, Curtis Tony, can't be outdone. He must out overreact and he must suppress more than anyone else. So he canceled Christmas. Go ahead. Top that.
When they canceled the Boston Marathon and that's coming. So.
Yeah, that is coming, which is stupid. You could easily do the marathon, just stagger people and, you know, cut the field a little bit and do it in September.
Do it, but anyway.
You could do it. You can do it. You can do anything. They're doing it in other states. They're doing it in other countries. We could do it here, but we don't need to get back into that right now. Anyway, good luck to Frank Mendoza and Dave Blondin. Thanks, Reamer. Thanks, Cullinane. This is the Callahan Podcast. We will do it again tomorrow.
Why am I stopping? No one else stops.
Can I go home?
The Jerry Callahan Podcast.